Recording has now started. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the IRTP Part D Working Group call on the 15th of September, 2014. On the call today, we have Angie Graves, Barbara Knight, James Bledel, Graham Bunton, Bob Mountain, and Arthur Zonenberg. We have apologies from Paul Diaz, Holly Rage, Alan Greenberg, and Bartlett Morgan. From staff, we have Lars Hoffman, Amy Bivens, Marika Koning, Steve Chan, Barry Cobb, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, James.
Thank you, Terry, and everyone. Welcome to the second to the last teleconference for IRTP Part D. We're very near the end, and as we indicated, we are now putting the final touches on our final report. So, first up, does anyone have any changes to their SOI? Please indicate so by raising their hand. Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain now any adjustments to the agenda. I actually have one. We could please, between item number one and number two, indicate that we have to discuss two items. One is some proposed edits that were sent earlier today by Arthur, and then a note that I had from last week that we have an outstanding item to accomplish, which is resolve the paradox that we have here regarding disputes and IRTPC implementation. So maybe if we could just make a couple of quick adjustments there, that would be great. And I see that Christine has joined. Fantastic. So let's dive right in. First off, I would ask that if you're not speaking, please mute your line. There was some background noise there just a bit earlier when we were reading the roll. So let's take a look quickly at Arthur's edits, because I think they were good ones, and I don't really see any problems with them. So, Lars, if you could scroll us to the first one, which I believe is towards the end of the report, not the annexes, but let's see, it looks like I'm on page, oh, okay, and we have a couple, I'm sorry, we have a couple by Barbara as well. Lars, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, James. Yeah, there's a couple of Barbara beforehand, and the first one being on page 14. If you want, I can go through them once we've dealt with them, but I think Arthur's is on page 27, 29, and Barbara's are all, in fact, ahead of those two.
Fantastic. Let's just take them in sequence then and start with Barbara's first edit, which I believe is on page, as you indicated, is on page 14, sorry. And it looks like she has suggested that we change the word panel to provider. I believe that is probably a more correct description, dispute resolution provider. Christine?
Hi, Christine from NAF. I just wanted to point out that the provider, for UDRP anyway, this language came right out of the UDRP. The provider itself does not determine whether or not the decision should be taken down. In fact, it's one of the kind of protection mechanisms that we have. We leave it up to the panel. The panel has to decide it in their original decision. And what that does is it keeps parties from coming back to us 6 months or a year later saying, well, you need to have that decision taken down because I want you to. And it's nice for us to be able to say, I'm sorry, the rule says that that's up to the panel and the panel's decision is over. Now, granted, I could grow up here and just say, sorry, no, I can't, I'm not going to take it down. But really, it is the panel's decision as to whether or not the decision should be public. It's not really up to me as to whether the decision should be public. So I actually prefer, and normally I agree with Barbara on almost everything, but I would actually prefer if we leave that panel and leave that up to the panel to decide whether or not the decision should be public.
Okay, thank you, Christine. Barbara?
Hi, this is Barbara for the record, so sorry to get off of mute there. The only reason I changed it to provider from panel is because anywhere else in the IRTP dispute policy, it basically always refers to provider, and if the, well, I guess that actually if we do end up even eliminating the first line of defense, if you will, the registry operator, I think that is actually a different definition than the relevant dispute provider. So, I mean, I'm flexible. I was just thinking that from consistency, there's nowhere in the TDRP that actually references the a panel. So, that's my thought.
Thank you, Barbara. That's helpful. So what I think I'm hearing from Christine is that this particular inconsistency in, on page 14, item number recommendation 2, is intentional and is picking up on a nuance here where we say the provider is the, you know, the service like NAF, but the panel in this case actually will instruct the provider whether or not something is to be redacted, and then the provider is the one that has the duty to report, which is in the first sentence. So that's, I mean, that's my understanding, and so I guess after, you know, kind of thinking this through a little bit based on both contributions, I think we should probably revert back to panel. I was agreeing with you at first, Barbara, because I thought it was not a material change, but I guess that just belays a little bit of ignorance on my part that it does appear like it was a material change. A green check mark from Christine. Does anyone else want to weigh in on this particular issue? Or it sounds important enough that we should probably go back, and Barbara indicated that she was flexible. So, Lars, if we could please – oh, I'm sorry, Barbara, go ahead.
Thank you, James. It's Barbara. So I guess my only question is do we need to have any sort of reference to a panel in the TDRP, or are we okay that once it goes to a provider, that it's, you know, it's understood that a panel will actually be evaluating these and rendering a decision? If that's the case, if that's understood, then I'm fine with it going back to panel as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we wanted to be brutally clear, we could say, except when a panel convened by a dispute resolution provider. I don't know, Christine, if you're okay with that, if that provides sufficient cover for the provider itself, that the decision is made by the panel itself. Thoughts on that, Christine, or will that serve your purposes?
I guess I would only say instead of except when a panel is convened, I would say the panel, only because we're not going to convene another panel 2 years later.
Ah, okay.
To decide whether or not it should be taken down.
So except when the panel convened by the dispute resolution provider. Does that work? Green check mark. Okay, Lars, can I get a green from Lars? I got greens from the ladies who are helping us out here. Thank you, Christine, and thank you, Barbara. I think that was a good exchange. And heck, you know, we're only 10 minutes into our call, and I've already learned something new. Okay, so then, Lars, if you could take us to the next change here. I believe Barbara deleted, trying to see what was deleted here. Or that was just maybe an artifact from editing. The next change, it looks like the purple is the addition of the word two, which looks like a fix of a typo or an editing artifact. Is that correct, Lars?
Thanks, James. This is Lars. Yes, that's correct. It was just the title, and then the next one would be on page 17. I keep the compra, the document thing to take you down there, and that's on recommendation 6 and 7 that Barbara suggests should be maybe combined. And the comment number 5 also refers to those two recommendations.
Okay. So I'm looking at let's take a look here. Barbara, maybe you can walk us through your proposed merger of recommendation 6 and recommendation 7, if you don't mind. Please go ahead.
Sorry, this is Barbara. I'm having a problem with my mute on my cell phone here, so I apologize in advance. It will be delayed. I just read these two to be very, very similar, so I don't know if it makes sense to go ahead and try to put them together. When I read through it, in the second one, number 7, where it talks about the TDRP should be amended to include the need to lock for a lock on the transfers once a TDRP is initiated, it seems like you could almost add that to item 6. So I mean, because NSX is basically recommending that once an enforcement or request for enforcement is initiated under the TDRP, the domain name should be locked against further transfers. I just added while such enforcement, a request for enforcement is pending. I mean, it just seems like it's so closely related that it's basically the same recommendation to me.
Thank you, Barbara. On the surface, I agree. I'm going to maybe ask Lars, do we recall specifically why this concept was broken to into two separate recommendations? Lars, go ahead.
This is Lars for the record. Yes, I think it was just two recommendations because it was two steps, and so the group had it as two separate steps and consequential logic. Having read through this, I also agree with Barbara that it could be merged. And in fact, I believe if we add after the section 3 close bracket full stop, delete the full stop and do a semicolon or something to say the TDRP should be amended accordingly, I think they would probably even capture that and then keep the non-bold under recommendation 7 as part of the new recommendation 6.
Okay, thank you, Lars. I see green check marks from Barbara and Christine. I think that makes sense. I'm wondering if we broke this up because we were modifying two separate policies. We're modifying the TDRP and then we're modifying the IRTP. Is that possibly why we split up this recommendation? Regardless of how we got here, it seems like there's general thought that these should be merged. Perhaps we go ahead. And you're saying, Lars, you have an idea of how you can make those fit together a little more seamlessly?
This is Lars. Yes, James. I'll do a quick edit and post into the chat. Just give me 1 second.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I think it's important that we review this because this is not language in the body of the report. This is actual language of our recommendation that will be part of the implementation. So I think it's important that we all get synchronized on this in real time. So thank you for that, Lars. And it also changes the number of our recommendations, I believe, reduced by one, which I think will make some folks happy. Okay, so reading the new recommendation. The working group recommends that if a request for enforcement is initiated under the TDRP, the relevant domain should be locked against further transfers while such a request for enforcement is pending. Accordingly, TDRP action and URS action are to be added to the second bullet point of the list of denial reasons in IRTP Section 3. The TDRP and IRTP should be amended accordingly. That part seems repetitive. Oh, I see. You moved it from the top to the bottom. Okay, that's fine. The TDRP, as well as guidelines to registrars, registries, and third-party dispute providers, should be modified accordingly. The working group notes that the locking should be executed in a way that the UDRP prescribes once the UDRP locking process is implemented. I'm fine with that. I would just make that just say in the same way or in the same manner that the UDRP provides rather than just way. I think that makes it a little more explicit. And then do we want to say is implemented or has been implemented? I don't know. I guess it's either one is fine. Probably just want to be consistent with the rest of the document, so whichever one you prefer. Okay. So we'll take a cue on this language here. Again, I just want to make sure that we get it absolutely correct because we are changing the language of a recommendation. We want to make sure we don't accidentally knock over a can of worms. Christine?
I just wanted to agree. I guess I meant to just do a green check mark, but I agree.
Okay. Thank you for your verbal check mark. Anyone else have any? Avery has also indicated her agreement. Barbara, does this capture the spirit of your contribution here, your edit?
Yes, James, it does. Thank you.
Fantastic. Okay. So I think that, Lars, if we can make that change in the document, I think a good good catch, Barbara, and thank you for helping to, I believe, simplify our recommendations and make them more accessible to non-IRTP experts like everyone on this call. Okay, so then I believe the next edit is in 4.2.2.4. It's the bottom of the same page, also coming from Barbara. It's a comment here. Noting that the locking recommendation will only deter domain name hopping while dispute is pending. If no dispute is filed, the domain name can still be transferred up to 5 times in the 12-month period. So this is our impact statement where we're saying that essentially it will be a deterrent to mitigate the practice of domain name hopping. So Barbara, I think what if I'm understanding, you're saying that it will, we are kind of being a little bit perhaps presumptive by saying this will be a deterrent because we don't know that it will actually be a deterrent. What we can say is that we will reduce the effectiveness of domain name hopping as an evasive maneuver, but I think I understand where you're going. So let's go with Lars first and then Barbara. Go ahead. Lars.
This is Lars for the record. Thank you, James. Again, I was wondering whether it might be a fairly easy remedy if we added at the end of the sentence, and I will post it in the pod just 1 second, at least while a TDRP is pending, to qualify this in the way that Barbara has pointed out. I'll add that to the pod and back to you, James.
Okay, thanks, Barbara. We'll wait for that to show up here, and then I'm wondering, Barbara, if you can weigh in on whether or not you believe this captures the tone and substance of your comment. Go ahead.
Thank you, James. This is Barbara. So I think it definitely helps to clarify it. I think it's a little bit misleading to indicate that this recommendation and the locking of a domain name during a TDRP is going to in any way mitigate, I guess, domain hopping outside of that. So if, you know, for instance, if a domain name is fraudulently transferred but no TDRP is filed, then there is really no way that the recommendation or the extension of the it just isn't going to mitigate it except during the time period that a TDRP case is pending. So I think it's by adding while a TDRP is pending helps, but I still think there's going to be plenty of opportunity by extending the period from 6 months to 12 months for a domain name to be transferred multiple times.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. I went ahead and put myself at the bottom of the queue, but before I weigh in, just wanted to see if anyone else had any thoughts or comments on this change. Okay, so what I'm suggesting here is I agree with Barbara, and I think that the bit, that was just added by Lars is important, but I think it needs to be more explicit and perhaps moved to the front of the sentence here. So something along the lines of the working group expects that while a TDRP is pending, this recommendation will mitigate, I don't know if mitigate is the right word, but perhaps reduce the effectiveness of the practice of domain name hopping as a component in the conduct of fraudulent transfer. So what I did was I moved that TDRP to the front, and I removed deterrent because that's presumptive, and I meant that we would be reducing the effectiveness of the practice. So let's see here. Lars has an update. The working group expects that while a TDRP is pending, this recommendation, singular, will reduce the effectiveness of the practice of domain name hopping as a component. You could just say as a component of fraudulent transfers. I think that would be fine. And then I believe we need a comma around that while the TDRP is pending, so that that phrase is separated from the rest of the sentence. I think that's pretty close to what I was seeing. I'll put my hand down and see if anyone else wants to poke that sentence with the sharp sticks. Okay, the queue is clear. Does anyone else have any thoughts on that? Barbara, go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to add that I put in a little note into the chat. To the extent that the domain name locking mechanism does include a server transfer prohibited status to be added to the domain name, it definitely will stop domain name hopping during that particular period of time that the lock is in place.
Okay, so do we want to add that as a specific implementation recommendation, something like the lock should include the locking mechanism should include a server transfer prohibited status on the domain name, something like that. I mean, we could be specific and say that.
This is Barbara, if you don't mind if I jump in here. I think
yeah,
it does make sense to add that, and you know, and to the extent that's obviously the status that you would add it at the registry level, and it's, I believe, a client transfer prohibited status that could be added at the registrar level, if that's how they plan to affect it. It's going to depend on where it would be enacted. So if it's at the registrar level, it would be client transfer prohibited. If it's at the registry level, it would be server transfer prohibited.
Okay, so Lars, if you have your pen ready, I think what we would want to add here is another sentence, something along the lines of the locking mechanism should include a server transfer prohibited status added by the registry and or a client transfer prohibited status added by the registrar, and this will or to stop subsequent transfers. I don't know if you got that.
Okay. Hi James, this is Lars. Just one second. I've got it. I'm just tidying it up, cleaning up, and pasting it in.
No problem. And while you're doing that, I'll just mention, Aubrey pointed out the use of the word expectation is in our expected impact. I think, and then a hope or aspiration, I think that we struggled with this a little bit during our last call, and I think even staff pushed back on some of the expectations or the way we were phrasing it were almost crossing over into implementation advice. But I think that, we're following the title of the section, the expected impact. So I think we were seeing ourselves as constrained by that word being in the title of the section. So I agree, though, it doesn't always fit. So there, Lars has added the second sentence. Locking mechanism should include a server prohibited status added by the registry and or client prohibited status added by the registrar to stop subsequent transfers. I think that's fine. And Avery was just responding to the previous conversation. So I think we're good there, Lars. Barbara, presuming that you are satisfied with this. And we are green. Okay. So if we could go to the next edit. I think
these are just minor edits on page 21.
Yes, I see.
And then
everything looks fine here.
The next one would be on page 22.
Okay. So Barbara has highlighted here, the TDRP should become more readily understood. And, oops, I just lost the – I think this is more applicable to the recommendation relating to ICANN providing more information on their website relating to disputing noncompliant direct star transfers. I don't disagree with the comments, but I don't see if this phrase actually does any harm. Do you believe it's in the wrong place or it's redundant or repetitive, Barbara?
Hi, this is Barbara. So I think this was actually under the expectations, right, that this was put, and I apologize, I can't see that section now on the way it's been scrolled. Let me see if I can personally drag it over. All right, hold on just a second. I'm trying to. Yeah, I was just making a point that it probably is really more under the recommendation, but I'm fine with where it is. It just was a comment. It just read a little funny to me.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Barbara. Lars, you had your hand up.
Yeah, thanks, James. This is Lars. Yeah, just to add, I think the sentences here, because we talked about, or the group talked about, how reducing the number of, with the increase of number of registries, and so therefore removing the registry layer, and therefore reducing the people that have to know about the policy to apply it, it becomes then more readily understood by those people who actually deal with the policy. I think that was the, that was what led to the sentence.
Okay, thank you, Lars. I think that's a good clarification. Okay, so let's leave that phrase intact, acknowledging that it maybe it's just hitting the same nail over again. And if we can move then to the next edit. Okay. So Barbara's just making a suggested change here to this recommendation about normalizing sanctions. And governed by applicable provisions within the RAA. I am fine with that. I wonder if it makes sense to also reference any other agreements, for example, the registry agreement or other contracts that may arise in the future. So could we say something like, as governed by provisions within applicable agreements, or is that too vague? Any thoughts, anyone? I don't know if that means that everybody hates it, or Lars, can we take Barbara's comment or proposed modification and then just tweak it at the end there and just say, governed by provisions within applicable agreements, within the applicable agreements, and that should cover the RAA as well as the future agreements there. Okay, green, great. Barbara recommends, where possible, that we strike that. I have no problem with that. That is probably just a more, more direct and crisp way of saying what we're trying to get across here in the impact statement. So I have no problem with striking that phrase. If anyone has any objections? None? Okay. Okay, can we go to the next?
James, this is Lars. Yes,
yes,
the next one is page 27, I believe, and that's Arthur. I think we come to the end of Barbara's comments.
Okay, all right. Just before we move on, thank you very much, Barbara. I thought those were good, good catches there, and I think our report is definitely improved as a result. So appreciate your work on that. So then moving on, and it's page 27, I think, but it's on the, if you're following page numbers on the, for me, it's page 28 is where I see Arthur's first contribution at the top of page 28. A comment where I believe he said something like, necessary to insert, prevent, to prevent delay in measuring these important metrics, which is, he, I believe, wants to add that urgency to this recommendation, this note here, in order to be able to conduct a future review, it's necessary to start gathering related metrics as soon as possible. What we could do, Arthur, if you're satisfied with this, is to say, in order to prevent delays for a future review, comma, it is necessary to gather related metrics as soon as possible, which are clarified in 4.2.7.1. So I'm merging your comment with the existing text, if that's satisfactory to you, Arthur. Green check mark. Does anyone have any opposition to that? Okay. Then can we move to, I believe it is the bottom of the subsequent page. It is, Arthur has noted a question or a comment attached to two separate bullet points, but it's the same general point, which is that the number of times a registrar worked informally with other registrars to request or effect a transfer reversal. Do we want to count the number of emails or phone calls exchanged, or just 1 point per incident? I think this is a question of, or at least I understood this to be a question of weighting of the weighting with an EI, not an A. Giving some weight to these types of statistics to make sure that we are capturing the significance and the impact of some of these changes. And then the next similar comment would go on the next bullet point for the number of times registrars experience a registrar who's claiming their domain name has been hijacked that is not related to an account compromise. I personally believe we're getting into a bit where we're prescribing to the implementation team how to conduct the surveys. So one possibility is to say something along the lines of the number of, instead of saying times, we would say the number of incidents or communications where registrars, and then the rest of the sentence can stay intact, and that we would do the same thing in the next one. Instead of saying times, we would say the number of incidents or communications. And I think that provides enough flexibility for the implementation team to decide which one makes the most sense in that context. And I see a green check mark from Arthur. I'm asking if anyone else has any concerns or objections to that approach. Nope. Okay. So then can we move to Arthur's next contribution. Actually, is that it, Lars? Because I'm into the dependencies now. Lars?
Thanks, James. This is Lars. Yes, this is it. All the other ads in this document are rollovers from last week.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for that contribution as well, Arthur. I think that those will improve the data gathering efforts as well as light a fire under the data gathering in the section above. So appreciate your contributions there. I think that when we get back to the comments from the GDD team, again, we uncovered last week, and it looks like we've got about maybe 25 minutes left in today's call, so we're going to have to take a look at this and hopefully get this wrapped up today or on the list. The GDD team pointed out that this group is referring to IRTPC implementation for a dispute for an inter-registrant dispute, and that the IRTPC implementation team believes that they've not been given the mandate or the instructions from IRTPC a closed PVP to actually address this issue. One of my questions, and I'm posing this to the group, trying to find our actual appendices where we have those use cases. Did I lose that? Go ahead, Lars.
Yes, due to the – this is Lars, I'm sorry for the record. Due to the PDF creation and the Adobe Connect room, I can't have that in one document, but I'll pull it up right now, and then I'll put the use case.
Okay. Okay, thank you. If you could, just while I'm introducing this. I think that one thing that we could talk about here briefly is a way to untangle this issue, because I think that we certainly have identified that that disputes between registrants can arise, and that the TDRP may or may not be an effective mechanism to resolve something, particularly if it's a time-sensitive issue like a domain name hijacking. And so I was looking for those references, and I see it in use case number 9 and use case number 12. Let me see if I see any other ones here. Scrolling down. So far, I just see those two, use case number 9 and use case number 12. Does anybody see any other? Okay, so here's my thinking on this, is that if we don't have a mechanism in IRTPC and we don't have a mechanism coming out of this, then those use cases would shift from that orange or peach color to a green color, which is existing IRTP, TDRP, or they would shift to the red, which is the ICANN policy does not apply. I think that when we say, you know, for example, in use case number 9, two registrant claimants dispute who is the registered name holder of a domain name without an inter-registrar transfer having taken place, for such a situation to occur, including but not limited to a contractor registering a domain name for a client, two business partners splitting admin contact, leaving a business, et cetera, but remains listed in who is. I think that this use case then becomes a red use case. Current ICANN policy does not apply because that is effectively a dispute over the identity of the party that's listed in who is. It's a business dispute at that point. Similarly, for item number 12, transfers when a privacy proxy service are used, the use of a privacy service means the privacy service is the transfer contact, which can lead to problems if the registrant wants to transfer the domain without removing privacy. Privacy might have to be removed, or privacy services enact the transfer request, which is also problematic. I believe this also becomes a red square. ICANN policy does not apply, but I would say in parenthetical here would be that, however, the interaction of the IRTP may be discussed as part of the ongoing PPSAI working group. So sort of a merger of shifting that to red with attacking on of the of that note that this is, and I know that Graham is on that working group, and there's some other folks that overlap from this working group. I know that that has been discussed. I don't know that it's a formal part of our charter, but we have clearly raised the issue of what happens to transfers when the domain name is protected by a proxy service. We certainly understand what happens today. I think that the group is trying to determine what we want to happen in the future and whether or not we want to standardize that across all accredited services. So that's my proposal to address this chart. I don't know if anyone has any objections to that, because then I think we've got to go back and take a look inside of our report itself. And I see that Graham and Lars have also picked up on a typo, and that will be fixed. So I see that there may be an older check mark, but I see that we have agreement from Arthur that those two changes would have to be in effect. I'm proposing one other change to the actual body of the report. So maybe give Lars a moment to switch back to that other document here. Okay, Barry. Barry just pointed something out here. Is it too late to? Okay. So if we go to Lars, you mentioned that there is a IRTP. C is mentioned on page 18, and this is the green language here. And it says something here where it says the working group anticipates the implementation of the relevant IRTPC recommendations may address some but not all of the use cases identified in Annex C. This is no longer correct because as we were informed, this is not part of the IRTPC implementation, and we just modified our use cases in Annex C, but there's no longer a reference to IRTPC. You know, I think that really the meat and potatoes of our work comes in the next paragraph, which is something like having evaluated relevant data gathered from ICANN compliance or registrars following the implementation of the change of registrar policy in IRTPC. The GNSO, and I would say comma, the GNSO Council may determine that not all use cases Annex C have been addressed, and that alternative dispute resolution options should be explored. In such circumstances, the working group recommends that the GNSO Council request an issues report to consider the development of a dispute resolution mechanism to address inter-registrant transfer disputes. So that's really what I'm talking about here, is striking the last sentence of the first green paragraph, and then adding the balance of the remainder of the second green paragraph, and then just merging those into a single paragraph. I think that's essentially saying that if we don't feel that the implementation of IRTPC plus the implementation of this will result in any positive changes, that the council, may determine that that further alternative dispute resolution options should be explored. Yeah, I do have one change here where we say something like alternative dispute. To me, that sounds confusingly similar to arbitration. I think sometimes people use alternative dispute resolution as code for arbitration. So I would say instead of using the word alternative, we could just say other dispute resolution options or new dispute resolution options. I think the word alternative implies something else. We have 15 minutes left in our call. I know that's a lot to take in. Can we talk about that change, folks? I don't know if Lars, if you caught all that, or...
Hi, James, it's Lars. I caught most of it, but I'll go through the transcripts later tonight, and I'll send the update out tomorrow if there's no further changes on the call, obviously.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone else... I see that the queue is clear, so now is your opportunity to add to or speak against this change. Okay. What I would ask, Lars, is that you do... Oh, I'm sorry. Arthur, go ahead.
Hi, James. Thanks. This is Arthur Zonneberg here. About the inter-registrant transfer dispute resolution, from experience with similar cases in CCTLDs, we actually find that this that these disputes are more common or similarly common. That these disputes are similarly common to transfer disputes, and that a dispute resolution policy is at the very least advisable to create by somebody, not necessarily the IRTPD group. That's it for now.
Thanks, Arthur. That's I think that's kind of where we were heading here with this, but I think we could probably make that case a little more explicit. Lars, if you could, maybe we'll await some further language from Lars, because I did want to add one other part here, which was our recommendation. And forgive me for not having this on tap here. We had another recommendation, which was our last recommendation, which is 4.2.7.2. Where we say that the working group recommends that once all IRTP recommendations are implemented, including IRTPD, remaining elements from IRTPC, that the GNSL Council, together with ICANN staff, should determine to convene a panel to collect, discuss, and analyze relevant data to determine whether these enhancements have improved the IRTP process, and to identify possible persisting shortcomings. So I think that in addition to using the word determine twice in the same sentence, we can probably just strike should and just go should convene. That's more of a typo. Then I think that what we could do is look for an opportunity here to put something like to make reference to disputes. So something like to determine whether these enhancements have improved the IRTP process and dispute mechanisms, and identify possible remaining shortcomings. So I think that by inserting that, I think that gives us the hook that we're looking for in our previous language, and as pointed out by Arthur, it gives us the direction in this recommendation to council that further work on this policy must include a revisiting of that inter-registrants dispute mechanism. So does anyone have any thoughts on that, or have I just taken us completely, off the road and into the weeds, or are we good with this? Arthur, is that Newham? Okay, it was an old hand.
Sure.
Lars, did you catch that change, Lars? Proposed change.
This is Lars. Yes, James, I caught it. It's in the document.
Thank you. Okay, great. And I believe that will address those changes to the use cases identified on Annex C, the changes to the two paragraphs that were previously revisited, including Arthur's contribution. And then the changes to the recommendation number 18 should address those concerns. It does not give us an immediate dispute resolution system or new dispute resolution mechanism for those inter-party disputes, but it does tee it up for future work. Arthur?
Hi, James. Yes, Arthur Sundberg here. About the observations that we make in 4.2.7.1 and the call to start gathering data as soon as possible, would it be wise to add a recommendation 20 to recommend collecting the data as soon as the report is finished, that the metrics team starts, starts designing the metrics that we require based on our observations, that they get to work on that more quickly, because if we leave it as a part of the report and as an observation, then we do not actually recommend that they start immediately, which is, I think, something that we can all agree on that we will need for future reviews. However, unless we make a formal recommendation for that, there's a risk that that those metrics may be delayed, or that that it's not picked up or anything. You know, you understand my concerns, I think, on this.
Yes, thank you, Arthur. I do understand, and I think what you're suggesting is rather than creating a recommendation number 20, we could look at recommendation number 19, and that we would remove the phrase as a best practice. And it would say, essentially, the working group recommends that contracted parties and ICANN should start to gather data and other relevant information. It would remove the phrase as a best practice.
Yes.
I think that would achieve the same equivalent outcome that you're seeking without creating recommendation number 20. Green check mark, okay. I am fine with that change. And I think that when we say observations 4.2.7.1 above, I would also perhaps recommend that we add, well, I think we've already covered the hijacking and inter-registrant disputes. Let me just see if we can explicitly note that that we want to capture the statistics regarding the number of incidents or communications related to disputes between registrants. Maybe we can add that under the one about hijacking that is not related to an account compromise. Nope, strike that. Let's move it above that one. I don't know if you caught that, Lars, but it should be in the transcript. Okay, great. Okay, so we have 6 minutes left to go, and 6 minutes and one call, to be blunt. Here's what I'm proposing. I believe, as I indicated in my most recent message, that we, particularly with these changes, that we have achieved consensus on these recommendations and on the language of these recommendations. I don't know that we have any other major outstanding items. So let's wait for Lars to circulate the next round of changes. That will be coming, well, I don't mean to put him on the spot, that will be coming as soon as Lars is able to get that circulated to the list. I would ask everyone to please read those carefully. Lars, if you could flatten the document so that only the changes between this version that were covered on this call are highlighted, and that we can you know, disregard previous edits and previous versions, and we'll just go forward from today. Thank you. Green check mark. Barry also noted something about Appendix C, item number 12, column 5. So we'll have to take a look at that to make sure that that's consistent with the other items in the chart. And then, if you could please, for the level of consensus, indicate, as I noted, that we have achieved full consensus for each of our recommendations. So this is important because if there is still someone who just does not believe that they are on board with any of our recommendations, you are now obligated to state your objection with a proposed modification. And if the modification is not acceptable to the group, then the or not taken as a friendly edit or a non-material or just a cosmetic change, then we will do one of two things. We'll either edit the recommendation so that we do have full consensus, or we will lower the level of consensus from full consensus to just plain consensus. Consensus indicating that there it's not necessarily unanimous, but there is widespread support for the recommendation. Then that will give us the opportunity to submit our report by the close of business next Tuesday, or sorry, next Monday, which would be the document cutoff for the next DUNISO Council meeting. And that would also give us an opportunity to start to wrap up the work of this particular working group so that we can present this to the community in Los Angeles, and it can potentially be voted, presumably, and approved by the GNSO Council at that meeting, if not sooner. So that's the plan going forward. We're under the gun, of course. We're right up against the finish line, and but I think that we're still very much doable as far as making that deadline. Lars, go ahead.
Thanks, James. Yes, just to add to that, what I propose to do as well is to send the flattened redlined version out as soon as possible tomorrow morning my time, and then I will send another version that has just the bits and bobs in it that I'm missing right now, such as the executive summary, later through the week, because that will take a little bit of time, but I think it's important to get all the changes out as soon as possible to the group. So you can expect two emails from me this week, but the changes will be the same. It's just the second version will be the full report with all the bells and whistles. Thanks.
Perfect. Thank you, Lars. And I know that this is creating some urgent, a significant amount of urgent work for you, and we certainly do appreciate your help. And I know that everyone is looking forward to getting IRTPD off their calendars every Monday. I assume that is doubly true for you as well. So so thank you very much for all of your effort on that. And then we will we will await the updated language, the two versions of the report as you described. And then our next call will be just a polishing of the report, one last set of eyeballs before we submit this to the council for their consideration. So thank you very much, everyone. Please keep an eye on the mailing list for those two important emails from Lars beginning tomorrow European time, and look forward to finalizing this report and wrapping up this PDP on our next call next Monday. Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Thank you, James. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, thanks, James.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Damon, if you can please stop the recording. This does conclude today's teleconference. Thank you very much for joining.